Beyond Shakespeare is sponsored by the Malone Society, the permanent utility of original texts. Go to malonesociety.com for more information.
The History of the Damnable Life and Deserved Death of Dr. John Faustus. Read by Robert Crichton. The third and last of Dr. Faustus, his merry conceits, showing after what sort he practised necromancy in the courts of great princes, and lastly of his fearful and pitiful end. Chapter 29. How the Emperor Carolus Quintus requested of Faustus to see some of his cunning, whereunto he agreed. The Emperor Carolus, the fifth of that name, was personally with the rest of his nobles and gentlemen at the town of Innsbruck, where he kept his court, unto the which also Dr. Faustus resorted, and being there well known of divers nobles and gentlemen, he was invited into the court to meet, even in the presence of the Emperor, whom when the Emperor saw, he looked earnestly on him, thinking him by his looks to be some wonderful fellow, wherefore he asked one of his nobles whom he should be. He answered that he was called Dr. Faustus. Whereupon the Emperor held his peace until he had taken his repast, after which he called unto him Faustus into his privy chamber. Whither being come, he said unto him, Faustus, I have heard much of thee, that thou art excellent in the black art, and none like thee in mine empire, for men say that thou hast a familiar spirit with thee, and that thou canst do what thou list. It is therefore, said the Emperor, my request of thee that thou let me see a proof of thine experience, and I vow unto thee by the honour of my imperial crown, none evil shall happen unto thee for so doing. Hereupon Dr. Faustus answered his Majesty that upon these conditions he was ready in anything that he could to do his Highness' commandment in what service he would appoint him. Well, hear then what I say, quoth the Emperor. Being one solitary in my house, I called to mind mine elders and ancestors, how it was possible for them to attain unto so great degree of authority, yea, so high, that we, the successors of that line, are never able to come near. As, for example, the great and mighty monarch of the world, Alexander Magnus, was such a lantern and spectacle to all his successors, as the chronicles make mention of so great riches, conquering and subduing so many kingdoms, the which I and these that follow me, I fear, shall never be able to attain unto. Wherefore, Faustus, my hearty desire is that thou wouldst vouchsafe to let me see that Alexander and his paramour, the which was praised to be so fair. And I pray thee, show me them in such sort that I may see their personages, shape, gesture, and apparel as they used in their lifetime, and that here before my face, to the end that I may say, I have my long desire fulfilled. And to praise thee, to be a famous man in thine art and experience. Dr. Faustus answered, My most excellent lord, I am ready to accomplish your request in all things, so far forth as I and my spirit are able to perform, yet your majesty shall know that their dead bodies are not able substantially to be brought before you, but such spirits as have seen Alexander and his paramour alive shall appear unto you in manner and form as they both lived in their most flourishing time. And herewith I hope to please your imperial majesty. Then Faustus went a little aside to speak to his spirit, but he returned again presently, saying, Now, if it please your majesty, you shall see them, yet upon this condition that you demand no question of them, nor speak unto them, which the emperor agreed unto. Wherewith Dr. Faustus opened the privy chamber door, where presently entered the great and mighty Emperor Alexander Magnus, in all things to look upon as if he had been alive, in proportion a strong, thick-set man of a middle stature, black hair, and that both thick and curled, head and beard, red cheeks, and a broad face. with eyes like a basilisk. He had a complete harness burnished and graven, exceeding rich to look upon. And so, passing towards the Emperor Carolus, he made low and reverent curtsy. Whereat the Emperor Carolus would have stood up to receive and greet him with the like reverence, but Faustus took hold of him, and would not permit him to do it. Shortly after, Alexander made humble reverence and went out again, and coming to the door, his paramour met him. She, coming in, made the Emperor likewise reverence. She was clothed in blue velvet, wrought and embroidered with pearls and gold. She was also excellent fair, like milk and blood mixed, tall and slender, with a face round as an apple. And thus she passed certain times up and down the house, which the Emperor marking said to himself, "Now have I seen two persons, which my heart hath long wished to behold, and sure it cannot otherwise be," said he to himself, "but that the spirits have changed themselves into these forms, and have not deceived me, calling to mind the woman that raised the prophet Samuel." And for that the Emperor would be the more satisfied in the matter, he said, "I have often heard that behind her neck she had a great wart or wen." Wherefore he took Faustus by the hand without any words, and went to see if it were also to be seen on her or not. But she, perceiving that he came to her, bowed down her neck, where he saw a great wart, and hereupon she vanished, leaving the Emperor and the rest well contented. You've been listening to The History of the Damnable Life and Deserved Death of Dr. John Faustus, read by Robert Crichton. There is more from Faustus on our Patreon, where there are exclusive exploring sessions where we take a deep dive into the text, and early access to other chapters of the book. There's also extensive work available on the play adaptation by Christopher Marlowe and other hands. Links are available in the show description.